am excited about today's guest, Phil Rosenthal. We've got season 7 about to start March 1st, Somebody Feed Phil, which if you haven't seen, you have to see. We're going to talk a lot about that. He's got a new book coming out. He's a best-selling author, by the way, New York Times best-selling author. Just try it. March 5th, it's, I believe, a children's kind of food book. Is that right?
That's right. It's called Just Try It.
Just Try It. We got a lot to talk about. Of course, he found fame and fortune creating Everybody Loves Raymond, and he's got a podcast, and he's done about everything you do, and I'm thrilled that I'm here. How are you, man?
I'm great, Donnie. How have you been?
Good. We last spoke on one of my old shows on CNBC, The Big Idea. You were a high-rated guest, and since then, you've done a lot of exciting things. By the way, your show is the happiest place in the world.
I
was thinking about it. It's like the antidote for everything else in the world. There is no cynical. There's nothing cynical. There's nothing unhappy. As you described it, it's everything: your family, friends, food, travel, laughs, and that's what it is. And it's the ultimate escapism. You know, if you're tired of the news, tired of watching guys like me on the news, it's the happy place. It really is.
But you have a very, very sunny disposition, I think. Even when you're talking about horrible, you're still a very affable, lovable guy.
You're very
and
sweet.
I just feel like, don't you think the world would be a tiny bit better if people explored their sense of humor a little more?
Yeah.
Just lightened up a little bit?
I try and do that, even though, as you said, I'm talking about heavy stuff on the news. I try and I talk about serious stuff, but don't take myself too seriously. And
yes.
I think that's important. I think it really is. And it just comes natural to you. By the way, you're from Queens. Where in Queens are you from?
I was born in Jamaica Hospital. And you know who else was born there? Mr. Donald Trump.
Mr. Donald Trump. I grew up in Queens. I grew up in Hollis Hills, not too far from there. Yeah, Donald Trump was in Jamaica Estates, the lovely Mr. Donald Trump, which, by the way, I'm going to go all over the place. The MAGA episode on Curb, one of my favorite of all time.
The MAGA hat episode.
I mean,
he's trying to get out of lunch with me, so he puts on a MAGA hat so that when I see him at lunch, he's wearing a MAGA hat, and then everyone's looking at us, and I got to get out of there.
It's just a start. So take me through. It's interesting. Larry was on Morning Joe the other day, and I bumped into him, and Willie Geist did a whole episode with him that's going to be airing this year. We were talking about it, and so you basically, in the scene, you just walk in and it's kind of like, here's basically what we're doing, go. And that's it.
Exactly right. He says, you're going to see the MAGA hat and then you're going to get out of that lunch. So here's what I did on the first take. I sit down and I go, really? And he goes, what? I go, Larry, if you didn't want to have lunch with me, why don't you just say so? You don't need to do this. And he goes, what? This is my hat. And I go, come on. And the director goes, cut. And they huddle. And then Larry says, listen, we need you to believe that I'm going to wear the hat. We need you to just be embarrassed to be with a guy. I said, so I don't know you well enough to know that you'd never wear that hat? And he goes, that's what we're saying.
Okay.
And I go, okay, I guess you know what you're doing. And inside I'm thinking, this is going to be dated. This bit of the MAGA hat is going to be dated maybe even by the time it's on. And guess what? It wasn't dated and it's still not dated.
Yeah. We're not going to talk a lot of politics, but explain to me, because you wouldn't be as successful as you are if you weren't kind of just a behaviorist and understanding people and what makes people tick. Explain to me. I understand people voted for Trump the first time because they didn't like Hillary, or maybe he's just saying some shit and he's going to be a different guy. People saw 4 years of it, and 70 some odd million of our fellow Americans went, thumbs up, give me more. Now, I know this is not your area of expertise, but I'm just as a guy who's just kind of as a great observer of human condition. Try, explain it to me.
Honestly, I met a woman, a very nice lady, and we were having a lovely time at a dinner with several other people. And she said, I had dinner with him, and you're going to tell me he was charming and great. And she said, yep.
Yeah, I know. I was going to take the words out of your mouth. Yeah.
And Melania was holding his hand under the table and they were getting along great. And everyone who works there loves him. And listen, I go, All I can tell you is what I've seen on the news.
Well, right? It's to the point about him being Trump, you know, I knew him for 10, 15 years. And
yes.
And we were what I would call friends. Now, his friends are people he just knows through business. So I did The Apprentice a few seasons. He used to do my show. I lived in one of his buildings. That's how we knew each other. And
yes.
The way I would describe him always was, I never saw this level of evil. Very charming, but you knew he was a slime bag and you would never do business with him and you wouldn't want to be a fox with him. But not to the extent, I never saw the level of evil and darkness that exists in him.
I think anyone can be charming in person, one-on-one.
Well, sociopaths are charming, basically. They can be.
Look at the actions. Yeah. Look what they do. Did I have to tell this woman? I couldn't say to her, you understand he's a convicted sex offender, right? This is not an opinion.
Yeah.
This is a fact.
Yeah. And what was her response?
I don't know.
It's the media.
We all live in the world because of the internet and everything else. We all live in the world we want to live in.
Create our own silos. Yeah.
I guess. And there's a certain danger in that. Listen, I love everybody. I think most people in the world are really nice. Here's another generalization.
I believe
in all
also.
My travels, I find that most people are so much better than their governments.
Yes, that's interesting.
Most people are sweet and nice and friendly. And on my show, I'm not showing you the world the way I want it to be. I'm showing you what is. Most people are terrific and great.
Interesting. I read an interesting old anecdote about you before you did Raymond, because I have the same business philosophy. Just hear me out. You were working on a show. I don't know which show it was. And that basically they got a memo one day that, they saw people putting milk in cereal. They said, no, the milk is for coffee and it's not for breakfast. And you said to yourself, and this is, I always believe, like, I'll never run a show or a company or anything like this. You're just demotivating. Like, it's bad business. Forget it. You're schmuck. It's bad. I never understood. And
it makes people not like you.
And your set and your show always had a reputation of
being generous,
a happy place.
Yeah, be nice. Yeah. Food is a very good way, by the way, of showing people that you care about them.
Yeah.
Have nice craft service for the people.
Yeah. It doesn't take much. It's not complicated.
It doesn't take much. Listen, there are some presidents who, when I think it was a famous basketball team is visiting the White House, he puts out cold McDonald's.
Yeah.
That's a guy?
Let's go back a little bit. So how did Raymond come about?
Oh my goodness. I had been, a sitcom writer for about 5 years.
You're on Coach. And, you did Coach, a few other things.
I did. And certain shows you never heard of. Right. But that's how it is. You start wherever you can. Yeah. I did. Listen, my first sitcom was for Robert Mitchum. I got a job.
A very funny guy, right? Robert Mitchum. Who was Broderick Crawford the next one? Robert Mitchum doing a sitcom.
I swear. I said, I can't believe where I am. I love sitcoms my whole life. Growing up watching them, I love them all. And I get to Hollywood. Here's a job for you. You're going to work for a sitcom for Robert Mitchum. I'm like, I don't know how that's going to work. And guess what? It didn't. So on to the next one. And the next one, and the next one. And then at the same time, here's a comedian named Ray Romano. He's knocking around for like 12 years trying to get on David Letterman. And from 1 6-minute appearance on Letterman, Letterman says there should be a sitcom for this guy. And they set about looking for a writer to create a show for Ray Romano. I meet with Ray Romano. We don't know each other except we're both from Queens.
Yeah.
And I say, tell me about yourself. And he goes, well, I got twin boys and an older daughter. And my parents live close by and they're always bothering me. And my brother is older than me. He's a police sergeant. He lives with them because he's divorced. He touches every bite of food to his chin before he eats it.
And you're like done. I don't have to develop any characters.
There doesn't seem like there's anything there we can use.
Yeah.
No, but that was as someone to create a show. For a non-actor, and he was a non-actor at the time.
Yeah.
Now he's a fantastic actor.
Right. Now he does serious stuff now.
You think, why don't you just make the situation close to his real life so that he's not acting so much. He doesn't have to be uncomfortable. And so what I didn't know about the personalities of his family, I put in the personalities of my family. So there's a lot of my parents in there.
Max
there's even
Helen.
A lot of my wife in there.
Max and Helen, I'm so moved. You know, obviously they were in your show until they passed away. But the reason that you are such a nice, decent soul is you had these amazing Holocaust surviving parents who I never met them, obviously, but just seeing them on, you could just tell they were just delicious people.
I owe everything to them.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I had the same kind of parent. I just lost my mom a couple of weeks ago. I feel the same
I'm
way.
Sorry.
95. No, she had a good run. 95. She was a good run.
Yeah, my dad.
And my dad was my hero. I lost my, but I feel the same way. I owe everything to my parents. Yeah.
I feel, honestly, Don, so lucky to have been their son. Really.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's how I feel.
Why is
that? And the show, listen, not only did I get so much material from them to use in my career,
right?
But I'm still getting it from them, right? I still, and then I put them in Somebody Feed Phil, and I didn't know they were brilliant comedic performers as well. You just turn a camera on them and they're natural.
Yeah, yeah. I always wonder how many people, when I was in the ad business doing television, I mean, doing commercials before reality TV, I always thought real people were more interesting. And if you got the right real person that and you pointed, so many people point a camera at and just let it happen. I mean, that's what you did with Ray, basically, you know?
Certainly there was some craft to that.
A little bit, yeah.
The Somebody Feed Phil show is complete improvisation and completely 1,000% real.
I love the way you sold it on one line. You sold it as, I'm Anthony Bourdain, except I'm frightened about everything.
Yes, I'm exactly like Anthony Bourdain if he was afraid of everything.
Right. It took some balls to buy that show because here you are. You were a behind the camera guy. There's a million food shows on the air. There's a million documentaries. So who knew?
Who knew? That's the name of my next show.
Right. But it is so simple. And the combination of, you get people to fall in love with the city, fall in love with the people, fall in love with the charities, fall in love with the food. You bring in your friends, comedians, family members, whatnot. And it's this stew of just happy stuff that makes us all go, makes us all work.
Thank you so much for that. My favorite thing in life is when I meet people who traveled because they saw it on the show. They said they saw Lisbon and they went to Lisbon.
Well, I got to tell you, we're going to do a little work here because the same thing you did with Ray, where he would not, I'm one of these guys, not a big traveler. My kids make fun of, I have all the resources in the world. I go to my same three places. I go to LA, I go to Florida, I go to St. Bart's. I've been to Europe. I can't get out of my comfort zone. And I know you did this for Ray. For a few years, he wouldn't travel. So you got to get-
He wouldn't go. And then we wrote a show where we went to Italy.
Right.
And what happened to the character-
Happened in life.
Meaning he got woke while he was there, right? Understood the magic of travel in Italy, especially. I saw it happen to the person.
Yeah.
He goes, Phil, have you had gelato? Yes, Ray, it's delicious. Huh? I love it. And now he goes every year.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Donnie, you know, life is finite. I think you should get out there and see a little more of the world. And you want to go while your legs still work,
while you still have breath
in your lungs to get up and see the most beautiful view you ever saw.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read, a podcast about the books that built our souls. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. Don't miss it. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hannah to Jhumpa Lahiri, Susie Essman, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they talk, they share. You can join us on Instagram for more behind-the-scenes content and giveaways at You Are What You Read Podcast and at Adriana Trigiani. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
What's the place that was the most overwhelmingly incredible for you and the place that disappointed you?
I'm never disappointed.
Never. There's no place that didn't deliver what you thought it would?
I don't know. Maybe someplace in New Jersey. No, I'm just kidding.
We love Jersey.
I love New Jersey. New Jersey has beautiful things. As a matter of fact, Raz's Pizza. Have you been there yet?
No, but I think that's where
Let's
is
go.
It? Where is it, Jersey? Where
Jersey
is it?
City.
Okay. I think someone Jersey was recently
City
telling me about that.
Wow.
Jersey
Since
is
I've
a
been
hot
going
place.
To Jersey
yeah.
City, I've seen it grow. It's a fantastic city.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, New York is like, it just keeps expanding itself.
Yes.
Long Island City.
It's a suburb.
To Brooklyn, to Greenpoint. Like, it's just, it, yes. everything, it just inflates to everything
yes.
around it.
You know what the best, the new Brooklyn is of New York? Philadelphia. That's how big it is.
And you got Philly connection. I love your Philly episode, by the way.
Oh, I love
Laser Wolf. How fucking, the French fries, Laser Wolf. Any fucking thing better in the, and the, it's not even ketchup. Whatever it is that they put together, I don't know what it is. The French fries and that ketchup-like thing is probably the best tasting thing I've ever had in my life.
Right. And that's in Brooklyn now, too.
Yeah.
In Brooklyn.
That's, yeah. Yeah.
So great. There's so much great. But Donnie, you seem enthusiastic about this stuff. You know where the best Middle Eastern food is? The Middle East. You know the best Italian food is? The Italy.
Yeah.
Same with every. You go to the source. You have to go. You will be comfortable. You can afford a nice hotel.
I can afford a nice hotel.
You can afford to fly a nice way and lie down.
This is
not hard.
Yeah, lie down.
That's all I want now from travel. Can I lie down? Okay,
that's it. That's it. Speaking of Middle East, you're one of the few who have been, I don't even want to say outspoken, I just think saying things that make sense, like let's bring the hostages home and things like that. And so, like, why has Hollywood run so, and this is something I've talked a lot about on the air, so far from supporting Israel? I'm not saying supporting Israel, everything they do, but just coming off of October 7th, they can't just come out and say, that was an absolute tragedy. We with no qualifications, no asterisks, no commas, no buts. It's the only group, Jews and Israelis, that you can slaughter and there's still a but. And yes. Hollywood will not go near it.
Fear is a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, if I've posted support for the hostages, you get crap from both sides, either yeah. not enough or how dare
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And there's no winning here.
No, no.
In fact, this is a very sad and huge and complicated topic.
Yeah.
Anyone who thinks they have the answers
no.
and knows for sure one side is right and one side is wrong is delusional.
Yeah.
This is thousands of years of history.
Yeah.
And
it's a Rubik's cube. It really is.
Netanyahu. I don't agree with his policies.
He's got to go. He's got to go.
All I want is a very simple message. I'd like
peace and love.
You know, I'd like the hostages to be returned home. I'd like innocent Palestinians to not be killed.
It's not hard to say.
Why can't we agree on that? It's not hard to say. I'm all for the innocents. I'm for the innocents.
It's not
complicated. God forbid you shouldn't take a hard line stance.
Yeah.
And it's ruining life for many people.
Yeah.
And not just in the world at large, but here at home. Everyone is taking a hard line stance instead of trying to meet. Listen, there's a scene coming up in the Dubai episode that's coming. Dubai is an amazing place. 80% or more is immigrants there. Mm-hmm. And I have a lunch. This was back in May with a beautiful Palestinian lady who makes me lunch. Okay. And I get emotional. She gets emotional. We hug. We're lifelong friends. The food is delicious. She's delicious. I couldn't love a person more than this. Okay. Breaking bread is something we all do. Sharing a laugh is something we can all do.
Yeah.
That's the message.
It's not that complicated.
No.
You must pinch yourself that you get paid to travel around the world, meet people, eat great food, and have fun. And this is your job.
It's all right.
It's okay. It's better than the show.
I'm the luckiest SOB you're ever going to have on this show.
Yeah.
I know that. I'm the luckiest person you're ever going to meet. And so I wake up in the morning and that's where I'm starting from.
Yeah.
Lucky, understanding the luck, understanding the gratitude that I have just to be alive in a beautiful world. And I, as much as, you know, negative stuff we're bringing up today, I still think that's a small part of the earth.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
And the reason it dominates the news is because it's news.
Yeah.
That's not how life normally is. Here's something extraordinary that happened.
They don't report the planes to land on time. I mean, that's it.
I've been to Israel. I've been to a city where Jews live next to Arabs in the city.
That's what people don't understand, that everybody's together. There together. Yes.
So what if the news was this? Jews and Arabs were in the same town today and they came together. And you know what happened? They had lunch.
Right. they had some falafel, right?
I went to this town, Akko. Not only do they live side by side, the mosque is next to the synagogue. They celebrate each other's holidays. Yes. A lot of the world is like that. We never see it.
All right, let's shift gears for a second. Let's talk about the new book. Where did the inspiration? Okay. I know as a kid, you were not a food guy. Like they had to kind of force you to eat. By the way, it's different today with kids. You raise your kids today. What do you want? And you make four different dinners. Not, you know, where we grew up, pot roast. You don't like it? Don't eat it. You know, that's it. There's no menu here. And I decide what we're eating.
My parents, not chefs. They worked. We didn't have money. They both worked. We were lucky to get anything. And you know, I used to joke that in our house, meat was a punishment.
Right.
I think my mother had a setting on the oven for shoe.
Right. That came from an old stand-up bit, right?
And so I never had great food. But the point of our book, Just Try It, which I wrote with my daughter, Lily, when she was little, she was a little bit of a picky eater. And we figured out how to get her to try stuff. And it's a very simple message, which is they got to find it for themselves. You try to push it on them. You know, the kid wants to assert a little agency, right? A little pushback, a little authority. Well, this is who I am. I'm defined by what I like and what I don't like, right? We're all like this. And so kids especially are testing the waters of the parent. Has nothing to do usually with the food.
That's interesting.
And when you leave them to their own devices, let them discover. Don't be so, right?
That's it.
It's not necessarily saying, well, what would you want today? And give them infinite choices. And then they can't even make a decision. But the stuff that you find on your own, whether you're 2 or 200, it becomes yours. It becomes the thing you like.
So I would love some advice. Your wife, who appears on your show.
Yes. She's a good part of the show.
It seems that you guys have this, like, a marriage I haven't had yet. What is the secret, okay? It really seems you could tell you guys are great friends. You could tell you guys really love each other. Like, your camera doesn't lie. You see it. You know, it's there. So what's the secret?
Sense of humor. That's simple.
Yeah.
I think it's our most underrated trait as human beings. It's how we choose our friends. Not the exact same sense of humor, but appreciation for each other's sense of humor.
Yes.
And just being a lighter person and not always going to the darkest place.
Yeah.
I think it's how we choose our friends. I think it's who we marry.
Yeah. Yeah. What are your kids doing now?
So Lily is a wonderful, she's starting a podcast. She wrote this book with me. She's an actress. My son is also an actor too, but he got into the making a cookie business that's fantastic. And Lily's going to open a restaurant with her boyfriend, who's a chef. I couldn't be prouder of them. But the thing I think I'm proudest of is that they are really funny. They are way funnier than I am. And that we get together.
That must be fun. Yeah, that's a dinner I'd like to be at. Yeah,
that's everything.
So the Phil Rosenthal, what a pleasure it is talking to you. If the world was full of Phil Rosenthals, I think we'd be in pretty good shape. Season 7 releases March 1st, Somebody Feed Phil, and it's just like I said, if you want to find your happy place, this is where you go. The book, Just Try It, written with his daughter Lily, release date is March 5th. Keep up all the wonderful stuff and stay happy, my friend.
Donnie, you're in New York, right?
Yes, where are you?
I'm in LA, but I'm coming to New York at the end of the month, and I'm going to find you, and we're going to eat something.
Okay.
And I'm going to convince you to travel.
Okay. I'm going to hold you that. We're going to do that. I really would love to have a meal with you. That would be a pleasure.
Great.
Stay well, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you. You too.